When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, everyone. It's time to eat, drink, and be merry with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy.
Well, happy Wine Wednesday on Big Blend Radio's Eat, Drink, and Be Merry Happy Hour show with Nancy Reed and Lisa Smith. We're the mother-daughter travel team and publishers of the digital interactive Big Blend Radio and TV magazine, as well as Parks and Travel magazine. You can see them both. Just go to bigblendmagazines.com. And today's show is all about Oregon's wonderful Willamette Valley wine country. Say that real fast 10 times.
Well, I'd just rather drink it.
I know. We need some of this. Apparently, this is awesome. Travel writer Linda Kassam, the food, wine, and shopping diva, just returned. She had an amazing, amazing wine tasting adventure there. In fact, she wrote a guide for the magazine, which is awesome. In her latest article is up on blendradio and TV.com. It'll also be featured in the spring issue of Big Blend Radio and TV magazine. She really focuses on the different places you can go. And she says, elegant Pinot Noirs, crisp Chardonnays, and striking Rieslings are the superheroes of the Willamette Valley. And she also says that the words Willamette Valley represent more than a destination. They denote a specific sense of taste and place.
I like
we
that.
We like that.
A lot.
And sustainability is key. A majority of the wineries are dedicated to being organic or biodynamic, and we'll talk about live certified as well.
Cool.
So this is cool, man. We're excited to have Diva Linda back on the show today. As you know, she's a regular columnist in Big Blend Radio and TV magazine and Parks and Travel magazine. She's also the president of the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association. You can keep up with the food, wine, and shopping diva. Just go to allingoodtaste.info. Diva Linda, how are you?
I'm very good. Thank you very much. You try spending 6 days. Yeah, spend 6 days in Oregon and see how nice your attitude is.
Oh, looks apparently
really well.
Good. Yeah,
you
had a good time, and it seems like this is just like this shining star that other wine regions should be looking at and maybe following their footsteps.
Yeah, you know, I've been to a lot of wine regions, nationally, domestic, internationally, whatever, wherever you want to go. And I find this one is the one that has the most heart so far. They ought to have a button that says, we care. It's a real interesting place. I think their stewardship and love of the land is first and foremost in their winemaking efforts. I really was surprised just how sustainable they are. They're a smaller wine district to some, and they have a great amount of attention already, but I think they should have a whole lot more. I'm really impressed with them. Wines were great, stories were great, food was great, everything was great. It was a wonderful trip. I really appreciate being invited to go and see it.
And we're excited because you have two special guests with you today too, to talk about the region. And I know you were talking about the tagline for the region should be "We care," and I love that. And
I like that a lot.
And I just want to go there. Like, this looks so beautiful. I was looking at your photos. I was looking at everyone's websites and reading your article. And I'm like, okay, that's it. We got to put this on the map for our Love Your Parks tour. You know, because that's the thing. It's so important about sustainability being, you know, wineries and farms and communities having that connection. where it balances out with parks, whether it's a national park, a state park, there's that connection, and it seems like this area has it. I want to bring our guests on, our special guests that Linda invited on. And so, Diva Linda, before I bring them on, this is definitely Diva approved.
Diva approved to the max. This is really something everybody should try to do as a destination, and it'll open your eyes to the wonders of what can be done with wine in a sustainable fashion. Really, really, really special things, and I'm really glad that Morgan is there to lead the way and help sort of coordinate efforts. And when you hear from our guest what he does at his place, you're just going to be flabbergasted. That's
excited.
All I have to say.
Excited. Yep. Morgan McLaughlin, she is joining us. She is the executive director of the Willamette Valley Wineries Association. So, like, this is your portal to all wine tasting in Willamette Valley. Go to willamettewines.com, and I'm going to spell it because Willamette, I don't even know if I'm saying that correctly, but I kind of remember that from a road trip, so I'm hoping I've got it right. W-I-L-L-A-M-E-T-T-E, willamettewines.com is the place to go. And we just found out, you know, remembered we spoke with Morgan at the beginning of Big Blend Radio. I don't, you know, like a long
time ago,
back when she was in Finger Lakes up in New York area. So good to have you back on the show. How are you, Morgan?
Oh, thank you for having me. And it's just amazing that you have been producing your show for, 11 years?
Awesome. Yeah, we're going to 12. January will be our Champagne Sunday. In fact, Linda's on our anniversary shows, every Champagne Sunday show. And and Diva Linda, I think she was on the show around the same time. You know, she joined us around the same time as when you came on our show. And it's, I remember giggling and talking about all the different farms and what it was like wine tasting. And it seems that the wine is in your blood, Morgan. Good wine.
Yeah, as long as it's good wine.
Oh, good wine. Good wine. And this is interesting about Willamette. What is it for you? You know, I know that you've done a lot of work also with Santa Barbara Vintners Association. For you going to a place like Willamette, what was it that drew you there?
Well, I think wine associations, the work that we do is very focused, and there aren't many places in the United States that make and promote premium wines. You know, I should clarify and acknowledge that all 50 states have at least, you know, one farm winery. So every state makes wine. So I'm not saying that there isn't good wine made all over the country, but there are, you know, notable regions that have kind of elevated domestic wines. Parts of New York, obviously California has been the traditional leader. And Oregon and Washington and the Pacific Northwest are, you know, coming along strong.
You know, we did pass through the Willamette Valley, and if we had known there were so many good wines there, we'd probably still be there.
See, that's it. See, thank
it's
you, Diva
true.
Linda. So, you have over 300 or around 300 members in the association?
Yeah, we've got about, you know, it kind of varies a little bit, but on average, we have about 250 winery members a year. And we are an association that also includes vineyard members and hotels and transportation companies. So when you add all the categories up, we are close, if not more than 300 members.
Wow. Cool. And 2016 Wine Region of the Year, according to Enthusiast Magazine.
I like it.
They got a good thumbprint on you. That's awesome. Congratulations on that. That's awesome. I want to bring our next special guest on, Taylor Pfaff. He is the CEO of Left Coast Estate. You can go to leftcoastwine.com and, you know, talking about, you know, Enthusiast Magazine, giving the area Wine Region of the Year for 2016. Left Coast is making some headlines too, especially with USA Today, voted as Oregon's top tasting room of 2017.
Wow.
And they're doing cool things with oak trees. And it just looks like a fun place to go, honestly. Taylor, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me for that.
Hey, it is awesome to have you on the show. It really looks like Left Coast has like gone full hog into, we're going to do what's good for the land, which is going to be better for the actual grapes, and that's going to be better for the wine.
Oh, absolutely. We got quite a bit of property on our estate, so we've had the freedom to kind of play around and explore. And, at the end of the day, we're really just farmers, so there really was quite the natural progression into sustainability for us.
And you are live certified, which is different. I know Linda's article, Linda, you were talking about biodynamic and organic. Mm-hmm. And biodynamic, I want to touch on that because it's unique and different. And I know farmers who like hang out with the moon and do all kinds of interesting thing with biodynamics, but like I'm always cool hanging out in the moon, especially with wine. But live is a little different. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so live is really looking at the environmental and social responsibility of the operation as a whole. So of course they're looking at what you're doing in the vineyards, but they're also looking at all of the land and how that's being treated with a really big focus on biodiversity. Mm. So on our property, we have about 490 acres. We have 142 acres of vineyards, and then we have a lot of ecological compensation areas, they call them. So we got a nice kind of array, and some of it's forested and it's oak forest, which we do a lot of work on too. And then there's also reservoirs, lakes, some potential wetlands. So their focus is really on what can you do with your whole property and how can you try to reduce the environmental impact of, you know, the monoculture of grapes that we're essentially farming.
That's important. We talk about that a lot, about what happens with monocultures and now
yes.
It wipes out even like your soil. Doesn't it come down to your soil being so important?
Yeah, and we really try and make our wines really representative of the terroir of the estate. So soil is the number one determining factor. Where the vines are planted is going to have the biggest impact on the wine. So if you're not taking care of your soil, you're going to have a really short run in this business as far as the vines are concerned.
Mm. We have some friends who have acreage up in San Benito County. There's like a huge ranch out there, and what they do, Piscinas Ranch, I got to give them a shout out. Mm. They're really changing what's going on with ranching in regards to, they have sheep and everything, but they're looking at the soil being key, and they're saying organic, you've got to take it a further step. And it is really about understanding even your microclimates and how you plant things and how, you know, they were like, we really, America has to as a whole, and every farm, no matter what you're farming or ranching, needs to look at the soil being the key thing. And we cannot be like, you can't just go, okay, this huge, huge piece of land, you could say 100 acres is going to be all this, but you got to balance it out a little bit, like kind of give like, I don't know how to explain it, but like leeway for places and things to breathe and move around and allow nature to be part of that process. Whether you're organic or not, nature has to be part of that process.
Yeah, absolutely. And nature is an incredibly powerful force, and you really want to harness that to work with it rather than trying to fight it.
Yeah.
So I mentioned our oak restoration efforts earlier. Mm-hmm. We're really lucky to have a great diversity of oak trees. Oak trees are incredibly long-lived, so a juvenile oak tree would be about 80 years old. And then we're fortunate enough to have a few heritage oaks, which are over 500 years old.
Wow.
Wow.
So cool. That's amazing. And white oaks, right? You have white oak forests, which we're always used to, like the live oaks or the California oaks, but you have white oaks, which are a little different for us.
Yeah, in the Willamette Valley, we have the Oregon white oak. It's Quercus garryana, and it's one of the most threatened habitats in the valley, which makes it even more important. 97% of its historical range is gone, and because the oak trees are so slow growing, you really need a multi-generational effort if you were to try to plant a new forest. So the focus right now is really trying to preserve what we have left in the valley.
Wow. What tell us about the wines that you have. I mean, are they Pinot Noir? I know Linda was talking about it. Pinot Noir, and then also, you know, Chardonnay is there. What are your wines?
Being in the Willamette Valley, we are definitely focused on Pinot Noir. That's probably about 70% of the production we do, but we also make some really lovely aromatic white wines. Oregon Chardonnay is really coming up fast. I believe it's probably one of the best white varietals that we have great potential for. Pinot Gris we've done for a long time. Pinot Blanc is another less known varietal that performs really well in the valley.
Mm. Diva Linda, since you went there, like, did you have any specifics that you're just like, man, I've never tasted anything like this before? And you were
well, I think in this particular winery, their Pinots are really quite exceptional. And I think for me anyway, if I was going to say, find a winery that has the taste of the place, this would be it. I don't know if I was so enamored with all the things they're doing that the whole story just made me real receptive to it, but I really think it was just really great.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Winemaking. This is a place that's beautiful. It's well-run. And even have truffle bushes, which is wow. Just amazing. Yeah, I mean, it's. Okay. Can you explain how you're doing these truffle bushes? Because I thought that was very interesting. This is an example of thinking way outside the box of what one might do with one's land.
Yeah, sure. So the kind of joke we have is that we'll try. Are definitely one of those things. So we took filbert trees or hazelnuts, and we inoculated the root systems with predominantly Perigord, but we also tried some white Alba truffles. And you, the saplings, you plant them in the ground, and the idea is that as the root system grows, the fungus will kind of produce spores, and it'll eventually fruit and produce truffles. It's a very long-winded project. The typical time to maturity is about 15 years, and we're about 12 years in. We have some nice, really positive signs that are coming along, including the brulee, which is essentially a lack of competitive vegetation around the base of the tree, typically circular. So it almost looks like you treated the tree, but it's totally natural. So yeah, we're really excited about the project, and we're looking forward to tracking it.
Man, this is interesting.
Interesting, yeah.
Morgan, I wanted to kind of go back to where Willamette Valley is for people flying into the region. I know we all look at Portland. There's Salem, your capital. Such beautiful areas. Man, there's roses in Portland.
Oh, yeah.
You see white and roses all over. And iris, as I remember, in Salem. But Morgan, can you give everybody an idea of where Willamette Valley is and how they can get there and kind of that experience? So they can start planning.
Yeah, I think people, when they think of or hear of Willamette Valley, I think more and more it's becoming known that it's in Oregon. So once you set the foundation that okay, it's in Oregon, people are surprised that the city of Portland is technically within the Willamette Valley AVA or American Viticultural Area. You know, you don't normally associate an urban area to be agriculture, but the way the boundary for the wine region was drawn, it includes Portland. So we like to make that connection because Portland is so very well known, kind of a hip, cool place, you know,
way cool. Just that.
Edgy and unique and keep Portland weird. I think they stole that from Austin, but it certainly holds true. But people are also surprised how large of an area the Willamette Valley is. And you mentioned Salem as the state's capital, but Linda got to experience the Southern Gateway, which is a good alternative for folks who maybe want to end their trip in Portland or want another perspective, and so we suggest Eugene as an alternative, not necessarily in lieu of Portland, but it's certainly a nice complement to the experience that you would have in Portland, and it gets you to drive up the valley, south to north. It gives you some experience with the University of Oregon and the history with Nike. There's a lot of exciting kind of current day history. And it's nice to see the diversity of the wine experience, because I think the other thing that makes the Willamette Valley really special is we have so many hidden gems. I feel like that's sometimes overused, but there's so many wonderful places to taste and experience wine in the Willamette Valley that to be able to have two gateways or is just a great way to explore.
Yeah, you know, I think that is neat. And Eugene, I remember knowing Eugene. I've got friends out there, but also traveling, just going on the Interstate 5, and all of a sudden, you know, here comes that mountain pass. I just remember that mountain pass. But it's also where you can, you know, you're near the redwoods and all of that. I mean, there's it's such an interesting piece of land. Like, you know, just the topography is so fascinating to me. And you're not far from the ocean. You know, you're not far from, like, you know, you're in the countryside, but you're also near, you know, mountains. It's really quite interesting about that. Is that part of what makes this such a good place to make wine and grow vineyards, Taylor?
Yes, and I certainly don't have nearly the track record that Taylor has on speaking to why the Willamette Valley is a great place for wine, but. You know, I think when you look at Oregon versus California as an example, we never want to think about, oh, one region is better than another. It's, you know, how are regions different? That's what makes wine and food so interesting, is understanding how they're made and who makes them. Mm-hmm. But I think Oregon has, and then the Willamette Valley is, you know, it's plentiful water. You've got the heart of the Willamette Valley, the Willamette River that runs through the valley. Mm. Mm. You've got the verdant green hills. You've got volcanic soils, very complex and different nuanced sites. So wine tastes different as you kind of travel through the area. There's kind of an earthiness, you know. Taylor talked about truffles, and you know, you think of mushrooms and ferns, and there's very much that earthy element. And we're protected from the ocean, but I think Taylor can talk about, you know, the specifics of where his property is located in the Van Duzer corridor, where there is some maritime influence, but it's different than, you know, like where I was in Santa Barbara, where you very much had a kind of a saltiness to the air. You don't get that to the level here in the Willamette Valley.
I really agree with you. I think this is the beauty about being into wine and tasting wine. And that's with food, and it's with beer, it's with all of it. Is it, when you talk about sense of place, it's taste of place. It's like going somewhere that you're not going to taste the same thing in another place, unless you're bringing it in or whatever. Mm-hmm. But there is something about understanding the land that where you can, like, if you're putting atmosphere in a bottle, does it feel like that, mm-hmm. Taylor, when you're making wine, that you kind of, how do you like put the land into the wine? You know what I mean? There's that taste that happens, that people can have that sense of place.
Yeah. I mean, I think for Oregon, there's a lot of factors that are committing to that sense of place, and kind of goes back to the concept of terroir, and the geological impacts are probably the number one. The Willamette Valley is famous for agricultural because of the Missoula floods. That was a really cool event. They were the largest floods in the history of Earth, and there was a series of them. There wasn't just one of these floods. There were 33 of them. Massive glacial floods deposited over 100 feet of topsoil in the Willamette Valley.
Wow.
And the second big geographical feature we have is the corridor that Morgan mentioned earlier, the Van Duzer Corridor. There's essentially a coastal range of foothills along the entire length of Oregon. And there's one gap, and my vineyard happens to be right at the head of it, but it cools down the entire Willamette Valley. So it's very common for our site to get about 30 degree temperature swings between day and night. And typical in the valley would be about 20 degrees. So that big diurnal shift is really great for preventing pests like mildew and maintaining acidity. Kind of the last thing I really think about that makes the Willamette different is the people. Mm. We've done a wonderful job setting really strict AVA designations in terms of what we're allowed to do with quality. So we've really maintained the integrity of the fruit that we're coming. Everyone is committed to try and make good wine, and beyond that, helping each other make good wine. And that collaborative part is what makes us really special, and it makes it a good place to be.
Well,
and I think that translates.
We're excited because we have to come see you because of those floods, the Ice Age floods. You're on the National Historic Trail for that, of the Ice Age floods. So when we're traveling to every single national park unit in the country, and the Ice Age floods is part of it. So we get go wine tasting. So who would have said, you know, you think about it, geology, but that's the cool thing about this, how geology and history comes together to make good wine. Yay.
Absolutely.
And nature. That's cool.
It's the taste of the land.
I know. Diva Linda, I want to go back to you. How many wineries did you go to?
Really?
I mean, this is 6 days in Oregon, but like how many, like how bad was it? Because I've got this list that you gave our readers here. Like there's like all these wineries. And I'm like, did you have a limo take you around or what's up?
Yeah.
How did you
pretty
do
much.
This?
Yeah. Well, I think in total I visited 17 wineries.
Wow.
In this particular segment, we're talking just about 12 of them. I don't think I've ever written this long of an article in my entire writer's life, but each one of these wineries was chosen by Morgan and for specific reasons. And they're just dynamic examples of what the Willamette Valley can do. So 12 wineries in this particular segment, 5 others in a segment coming up in December. So that's a whole lot of wine to be drinking in 6 days, but somebody had to do it, and I'm glad it was me. It was wonderful.
Fabulous.
No, she's a diva. I remember you doing, was it the Rutherford tasting?
The Rutherford tasting. Oh, my Lord. That was like 100 wines. I don't know how many, all cabs in one day. That was that was a wonderful experience. And then you remember the 50 best wines in France. I never thought I was going to stop tasting. That was a fabulous experience, too. But when you do this, when you do these focused tastings, and especially on 3 or less varietals, it's really a great learning experience. You really begin to understand where you are, what the taste is, and what a region is capable of. But beyond that, you know, I'll say it once again, it's the stewardship of the land that makes this place the most special to me. Just their, you know, some of these people are doing biodynamic farming, others are doing organic, others have this wonderful live certificate. There's a couple experimenting with rootstock, planting just varietals on rootstock and not... remember, they used to do that before phylloxera, and then when phylloxera came along, you know, they did grafting, and now there are some wineries in the Willamette Valley that are trying to bring back just on rootstock. We'll see how that goes, and Taylor may have some thoughts about that, because it has to be such a clean environment. You almost have to be solo out there by yourself, make sure that you're not borrowing any farm equipment or bringing any kind of pest with you on your feet and so forth. But, you know, interesting times. I mean, this is, we'll see how this region does as it grows. And Taylor, how many, would you say that 80% or more of the wineries that you know, the vintners that you know, are using some sort of organic, biodynamic, or live certification process?
Yeah, I think for the majority, everyone is really looking at that as something that they want to improve. And we believe that it makes better consensus amongst the Valley.
Yeah, I would agree. It makes better wine. Just, I don't know, the taste is more, I don't know, pure or earthy or subtle. There's a lot of adjectives you could put to it. But, congratulations, you guys. You guys are all doing it together. And, you know, that's why I think it's really necessary to focus on this particular wine region at this time.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important. I think also it was interesting what you're talking about, having to be so clean with the rootstock and our national park system. A lot of places now, even here in Saguaro National Park in Tucson, we love our city of Tucson. But I have to say, when you see all these photos of green, you get a little bit like, I know when you get to Oregon, you just get out and you're like, I'm going to hug trees.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm going to roll in the green field. I want dewdrops. Like, I want to hang in the meadow. Mm-hmm. And there's a thing where you really just become the animal that will roll in the meadow, and I will. But it's really interesting because the parks are now getting to this point of, and I always bring this up as much as I can on shows, because we track invasive species everywhere we go. So when you go into parks, they're asking you to brush your shoes off, your backpacks, your camping gear, because whatever you may have been in another state and brought in a native species from there, and that will be invasive on this side, you know. So they're doing that too. Taylor, is that kind of like that as well, where you're growing your vineyards, that you have to watch what you're tracking in?
Yeah, you got to monitor them at a lot of different levels. After people experimenting with own rooted, that's certainly a concern. But for us, what we're doing with the oak restoration, what we're restoring is the natural habitat. So we have basically a thicket of invasives, primarily English hawthorn, blackberry, that makes the undergrowth so choking that you can't even walk through it. Well, the natural habitat was oak savannas. And those savannas were historically, oaks have these big, beautiful, tall trunks, and they used to kind of have grass fires that would burn through and eliminate all of the competition. And a lot of the native plants for the understory do really well in years that there's fires. They'll seed more and they'll produce faster. So for us, we're doing a big effort to kind of remove all of those. And once you kind of start, you don't stop. So, you know, you start ripping out blackberries wherever you see them. And it's not just us, it's parks, it's highway control, it's everyone starting to make these efforts. And it's really incredible, the process that's been made in just a few short years.
I know here in the Southwest, it's buffalo grass and mustard that we have
mustard.
To tear out. I think you probably had that out in Santa Barbara too, Morgan, with the mustard. It's how it goes. You know, you just, it's how things came in. And, you just got to, we got to balance it out as best we can. Diva Linda, I want to know, where did you stay? Talk about your lodgings and did you do anything other than drink wine?
Yes. So I just love gardening. I love gardens. Wherever I go, I try to see a garden, be part of a garden, sit in a garden, hug a garden, whatever I can do. And we went to the Oregon Garden Resort in Silverton. And so if you fly into Eugene, like Morgan was talking about, this is a great place to situate yourself. Great big rooms. And just a few steps away, there's an 80-acre Oregon garden. I think that's what it's called, the Oregon Garden. And it's, you know, it's kept up seasonally. And during the summer, I think on the weekends, you can get on a shuttle and you can go all around. You know, I certainly on foot couldn't do 80 acres, but we didn't have a lot of time there. But it was beautiful. And it was wonderful. And So I think it's sort of this Oregon resort is sort of the perfect place because it had a bar, it had a restaurant. It would be actually a very good place to have a small conference. They have conference rooms and stuff, and they're so well placed for seeing the wineries and so forth. I think it's just a great place. So I highly recommend that, especially if you're a garden lover.
One of your photos in there, you know, you take special photos for me. I know you do. The you take my my mental. But this one, you have this one of my favorite. She does. It's always interesting. You never know what you're going to get, you know, wherever she is around the world. It could be, you know, Berlin, and here we go. Czechoslovakia brought us some interesting ones, but this one, the Pothead Farm. Okay, this little, like, husband and wife pot couple with the little, you know, like, the herbs coming out of the woman's head. I love that photo. Yep. It's one of my favorite photos of all time.
Is it? Oh, my gosh. Yeah, well, you know, you just never know what you're going to find in these places. I really thought it was quite spectacular, besides the pothead couple, how they integrated glass artwork everywhere. I love living in Washington State for so long and being a great champion of Chihuly glass and art. I just, anything that looks like that they That's somehow diva. Integrated into gardens just speaks to my soul. So, yeah, so you know, you can find the mundane, you can find the funny, you can find the quirky, and you know, you can find the soulful. It's just you never know what you'll find on any given day.
I love this because you're in a garden and it's a resort, a garden resort. That's it. Like I'm moving in because there's a restaurant on site. So you could have Wiggy. You got a room. You got gardens. You know, 1 hour walk. 1 hour walk destination.
That's right.
Perfect.
Outdoor pool. Yeah. Everything.
Perfect.
Great.
Perfect.
Yep.
I want to ask each of you, before we play happy hour, I want to go into why wine. Okay, we all know we love wine, but why wine? Taylor, what was it for you? Because, you know, I was reading about you, you know, skateboarder and, you know, I mean, I know, you're doing all, snowboarder. If you snowboard, you skateboard, right, Taylor? You got to do both.
Yeah, there's a natural translation there.
Okay, good. So what was it for you starting at 15-year-old working at Left Coast to stay? What was it for you that said, I'm going into wine?
I mean, really, at the end of the day, what fascinates me about the wine industry is it's so complex. So throughout the entire supply chain, you're meeting all of these people who are incredibly talented and very knowledgeable about their particular niche in the industry. So I just found that it was somewhere where I was constantly learning, constantly evolving, and you'll never know it all, and you'll always learn something new almost every day. So that's what really drew me into wine.
Oh, I like that answer a lot.
I know, and I know you
really do.
You got a degree in history, because to me, we were talking about the floods, right, and the Ice Age trail and everything. There's doesn't history play a role of what's happening now? In regards to our food, our wine, moving forward and how we can be sustainable and work with the land, doesn't history play a role in that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the only reason we are where we are today is because of how history has played out. So knowing that and trying to learn from mistakes we've made in the past is what I think keeps humanity moving forward.
There's just some incredible things. Like in Tombstone, there's a rosebush that's 100 years old. And it's like crazy.
The 9,000 feet wide, square feet or something like, 900, no.
But anyway, 900. You know, when you're looking at plants and such and how the earth was formed and what lives where, I get like, you know, with plants, it, you know, especially ones now that ultimately you're going to harvest and drink or eat from that plant. I keep thinking now with the volcanic stuff in Oregon, how does that really affect the taste?
Yeah.
You know, because maybe somewhere else where they don't have volcanic action, they can't get that taste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're lucky in Oregon, we have a couple different areas. So up north in the Dundee Hills, they do have a lot of that volcanic soil, and it tends to express itself as really deep, rich flavors. And we're a little further south in the valley, so we have more ancient marine sediment. And our wines tend to be a little bit less fruit forward, kind of more layered, a little bit more earthy. And it's really cool because the two are only 30 miles from each other. And there's a huge difference in the expression. And both of them make fantastic wine. And it's really coming back to the soil.
It comes down to, like, you know how you can have...
Your drinking history.
Yeah, when you have, like, a neighbor and they're getting snow on their land, and in your land you're getting sunshine. You know how that happens? Like, you could have it in... We've had it where it was snowing in our backyard and, you know, rainbows and sunshine in the front yard, you know, out in the desert. It's crazy. But that's how life is, those little microclimates. And I think that's what's so important with what Willamette Valley is doing. Just going on everything and reading Linda's article, just that you understand that connection, that every little piece of land is important, every little part is important, and understanding those little microclimates and soil, you know, little change of soil from here to there, because when we have, you know, a lot of vineyards or a lot of fruit trees or whatever it is in one area, if it is all treated the same way, it doesn't work. And I think what you guys are doing is you're the northern star of, like, hey, everybody, look at understanding just exactly what you have on your doorstep. And that's what's going to be the most beautiful thing of what you have, is everything's going to be different. That's the variety. It's the blend. That's it. Yeah, it is. That's what I think is so cool about this. I get excited. So, Morgan, this is cool. I'm so glad you're up there.
I know. It's awesome.
I want to hear more about this. But tell us, what was it for you that said, I'm going to get into the world of wine?
I don't have nearly the poetic answer that Taylor had. my journey was a little less planned and more inherited, in the sense that my family had a winery and I just grew up with that. A bit second nature, but it wasn't until after college that I had my own personal interest in wine. And I ended up marrying someone else in the wine business, and we've been able to kind of marry, pun intended, both our professional work with wine with our just enjoyment of wine, whether we worked in wine or not.
I like that. New Cat Stevens song, Oh Baby, It's a Wine World. I love that.
Oh,
now, Diva Linda, like, from what I remember, is, like, going back to the same time frame, 11 years ago, when both you and Morgan started on our shows, but you going into the wine world was really in Temecula, right? Or was there something before
No.
that?
Well, you know, I'm Catholic, so the most I knew about wine before I started to work with the Temecula Valley Wine Growers was, you know, that you stood up and walked towards it on Sundays. So
there's better wine out there.
So I had my Blue Nun stage, and I had my, all my dessert wine stage, just like a lot of people do. And then I'm an organizer, and I was invited to come to Temecula and organize them. And then this great mystery, I know this great mystery presented itself as sort of a sideshow. I had no idea. I thought that they were just rules and rules. And then one day I got into it struck me one day when I got into a panel with a bunch of vintners and winemakers. And they were trying to, for an event we're going to have, just have descriptions of 7 wines. Now, how hard can that be? But you have 15 plus people in a room describing both their wines and somebody else's. I had no idea you could not agree. But here was somebody saying, "What if you put that it has fig taste in it, then you'll have to give me back my earthy tones." And I thought, isn't that interesting? So we can disagree. And it's like a mystery of how you put all this stuff together. And from there, it just sort of... and then just having specific tasting panels where you actually learn to recognize a Chardonnay from a Sauvignon Blanc. I mean, really, up to that point, I really didn't have an idea. So that's my journey. And once I found out that it had so many nuances and such a mystery to it, and that you could imprint what you thought made good wine, that what makes good wine is what you think it is. You know, my sister still thinks that, you know, a dessert wine is the best wine in the world. That give her a red wine and she thinks it's twigs and sticks. You know, you take me in, and you know, I like those twigs and sticks. I like that.
I do too.
And, yeah,
I want to eat
cement.
The soil. Like, no, I want to taste the soil.
Yes.
I want to taste it.
Yeah.
Like, I want to eat dirt. Like, I want it. Like,
there
when
you.
I drink wine, I want soil.
We want to know what the soil tastes like.
But I don't
want it
the
without,
soil.
No,
I don't need the mud pie.
But we don't.
But I did that as a kid.
No, we don't want the. We don't want the like. Over chemicalized.
No,
and
I want
no.
clean mud.
We want the real dirt.
Yeah, that's it. Taylor, get the dirt out.
We'll send some over.
Yeah, so in the end, is it not grand? You get to make your own decision about what makes a great wine.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
For yourself. Mm-hmm. Is that just not grand?
Yes,
I mean, nobody has to tell you what makes a grand wine. We can do all this visiting and so forth and learning, and it helps us understand why wines are great or not great. But in the end, when you're sitting around your table having a glass of wine, is it good for you or not? You know, it's just what a wonderful mystery.
And when you travel, it gives you this whole other way of traveling and understanding the land and where you are. Again,
I'd agree.
The whole thing of Willamette Valley, to me, just, I'm like, I'm enamored. I want to go because of that. And understanding, like, it's, when you just go in and do an Instagram pic at a statue, like, there's more. You need to go wine taste and look at the vineyards. Look at what made this, you know. Eat the dirt, man.
No, but that's how I think you really come to understand geology in a way. It's like if you have to be there in the region, go to the winery, having seen the geology, and then taste the wine. And if you can imagine the geology you just saw, then you can like, man, check that out.
Taylor, do you think you could make wine in Hawaii?
I think someone is making wine in Hawaii. Isn't that right?
All 50 states, but I mean, come on, the volcanic thing, right?
Yeah, because.
Yeah, and it's interesting because Central California, near Pinnacles Park, where they're moving, literally, and on San Andreas Fault, they're volcanic and everything, they're making Pinot out there. And I'm wondering, like, this is interesting. So wherever geology is going, like, is moving, you need to
be wine.
You need to move to those places to drink that wine. That's how I'm going to look at it. But it is true. People, when you think about geology, for some of us, it's like, oh, no, that's too much information.
Oh, no, it's fascinating.
But drinking wine will get you there. Okay, happy hour game. Okay, so we want to know if you can have wine with or happy hour. It doesn't have to be wine. Happy hour with anyone around the world, alive or passed on. Who would it be? Where do you want that happy hour to be? We got a good, you know, expense account here. What are you going to drink? And we want the gossip. What are you going to talk about? So Linda, let's start with you. You've been through this, but like, you know, you've been traveling around. Where are you today, by the way?
Oh, I'm still in Seal Beach, but tomorrow I'm heading off for Lafayette, Louisiana. Is it Louisiana?
Ooh, yeah, Lafayette, Louisiana.
I've been traveling so much. I'm sorry. Yeah, I've been traveling so much. I've sort of forgotten where I was supposed to be. But anyway, in my turn to my toast, I would like very much like to sit down with Charles Louis Tiffany. You know how I love my jewelry.
Sparkly Diva.
I just got another advertisement from them, and I thought, damn, I'd like to meet that man. And I'd like to go to the Sherman Library and Gardens in Corona Del Mar. I just visited them. I'm going to do a story with you all about them. It is the most beautiful coastal garden I've seen in a long time. And it's 20 minutes from my house. Who even knew? I didn't even know. It's so
beautiful. And you have fountains and koi carp and everything. I saw those photos and I'm like, dang it.
Oh my God who would know, and we would have a glass of Pinot, I think, because I'm now re-enamored with Pinot. It's such a light, lovely drink, and goes with everything. There isn't anything, including ice cream, that it doesn't go with.
It's perfect. It's a perfect wine.
Perfect.
It is. Yep. Mm-hmm. Morgan. Oh, wait. I want to know what you're going to talk to him about. Wait, go back, Diva Linda.
Oh, where are we going to go?
Yeah. Are you going to ask him for like a free expense account?
what are we talking about, or what am I asking him for?
Yeah, well, you can
what
do whatever.
I would really like to go over with him how his designs started and how he got such. How did he figure out that you had to be truly iconic without being too fussy? You know, their lines are really the lines of their jewelry are. Really nice, and the longer they're in business, the simpler they become. Anyway, I would like to find out how he figured that out, and that would be that. And yes,
Tiffany
then
Lynn.
I would ask him for a great big gift certificate. They already have half my money anyway, but you know they could.
But a gift certificate just to offset it.
It would be nice.
Stevie Nicks used to travel with her Tiffany lamp. Everywhere
oh,
she
God,
went on
I know
tour.
Why. Oh, she Could, should. Oh, yeah.
Talk about a diva.
Good for her.
No, but that's a diva. I'm taking my lamp with me. That was her main thing, her Tiffany lamp. I'm like, there it is, diva, the Welsh witch diva.
Oh, the light in the Tiffany lamp.
I know. So, Morgan, let's go to you. Who are you having happy hour with?
Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, yay. Cool. Oh, my God, in the car?
Yeah. I think it would be perfect to cruise around in a vintage Ferrari through the Willamette Valley.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I assume he drinks wine. I'm actually not sure. But
yeah, he does. His wife and him, he did the thing on that. He doesn't do a bunch, but he does do wine. He does wine, yes.
Right. And I think we would just talk about drinking wine, driving cars. Instead of coffee, we go drink wine.
I love that.
That's so cool.
I love that show. That's so cool. Yeah, I like that.
He likes cars a lot.
I know, but a Ferrari, that's good. Like, hey, why not? Taylor, who are you drinking with?
I'd probably go with Frank Sinatra.
Ooh, that's different.
Yeah, younger Frank Sinatra.
Oh, the young one, not the older one.
Okay.
Yeah. Under 40, somewhere in there.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so younger. Okay, was there a reason for that?
I don't know. Just closer to my age.
Okay.
Be more relatable. I'd take him out to sushi, so that would probably throw him for a loop.
where are you having sushi?
We would head up to Vancouver in British Columbia.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
Oh, I like that place. Yeah.
Okay, so what are you drinking?
We'd probably have some Pinot Noir, and then we'd also have some sake.
Yeah. Gotta have variety.
Because Pinot Noir goes with sushi also, just in case you wanted to know.
Go, girl. Go, Diva Linda. She's got her stamp out. Her stamp is not like everybody else's. There's a purple stamp, the red stamp, but hers has glitter in her stamp because she's the diva. So what are you going to talk to him about?
Yeah.
I'd hope he would do the talking. That's my theory. He's the socialite. I think he's going
to
be blown away by the environment and food. So, and iPhones and all of that. There'd be a lot to catch up on.
Have you watched the Quincy Jones biography thing that came out?
No, I haven't seen it.
It's on Netflix now. And Frank Sinatra truly helped launch Quincy Jones. Mm-hmm. Check it out. It's the coolest story ever.
But
it's really cool.
I just want to say, I want to go with you. You could have Frank, and I want Dean Martin.
Oh, she wants Dean Martin. She's never gotten over it. Like, that's the man ever.
That's the man.
Well, thank you all for joining us here on Big Blend Radio. Willamette Valley, everybody put that on your radar. Morgan's website, go to willamettewines.com. That's the central, the wine central of Willamette Valley. So check that out. And everything, like you were saying, Morgan, everything is there. All the different, hotels, you can find out about airports. Everything is there. And of course, some wineries, we want that. Keep up with Taylor's wine, go to leftcoastwine.com. And also, you can follow the Diva, go to allingoodtaste.info. Again, Diva Linda's story is up on Big Blend's website. It's go to blendradioandtv.com. Just type in Willamette Valley and you'll find it, or go to Diva Linda and their expert page. And you'll also see it in the spring issue of Big Blend Radio and TV magazine. I want to thank you all for joining us. Thank you, guests. Thank you, listeners. Keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. We have a special song for today. Mm. It is Willamette Fog. Who knew I would have a song from Willamette up my sleeve, right? Do you like the fog, Taylor? I just want to know. Does that
help? Yeah. Yes. Love the fog.
Well, okay. So this is from an incredible guitarist, John Durant, and it's JONDurant.com. And it's from his album, Parting Is. He loves Willamette. He goes between Massachusetts and Willamette all the time. He posts all kinds of great photos on Facebook of Willamette Valley, and he knows how to cook. He has his cooking Fridays, and he loves your area because of the wine. So we have to play his song, Willamette Fog. So here it is, everyone, Willamette Fog. And again, the album is Parting Is by a guitarist, John Durant. Thank you all for joining us. Take care and cheers.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.